And we started off this morning here at WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carver with a little bit of Satchmo.
Oh yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all in to find a seat and get comfortable. How can you not be comfortable after listening to that? And this is the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the best. And good morning, Claudio.
Good morning. That was a wonderful little intro. Yeah, Satchmo does set the pace, doesn't he?
He is fantastic.
Indeed. Once again, before I start anything, I'm going to acknowledge the historic Carolina Theatre for being our primary sponsor, underwriter, and all that jazz. They've got all kinds of stuff going on. They've got some kind of a retrospective going on I think, the old science fiction type horror movies. So look them up on... carolinatheatre.org on the website, and you'll see what's happening there.
Yep.
I also know from the 27th of this month, that being September, all the way through October the 7th, they're having something I'm definitely going to catch, and that's a Charlie Chaplin retrospective.
Neat. Very nice.
Even the one that got him kicked out of the country for 20 years.
They have such good stuff.
That
there.
Is one amazing really accomplishment, to get yourself kicked out of the country by not saying anything at all. Just totally pantomime. And he was also the wonderful inspiration of someone I'm very proud to say I had a 20-year friendship with, and that's Marcel Marceau.
Uh-huh.
Marcel Marceau was greatly inspired by him, as well as, believe it or not, the Three Stooges.
I believe it.
I can totally see it. And I was in love with all those characters when I was a kid, so it was amazing to meet somebody later in life that was that basically took that influence a step further.
Well, we're so happy to have Carolina Theatre with us here.
Absolutely.
At Claudio Speakeasy. And you've got something there about, I mean, you do some work over there.
Well, I was actually sent this by my boss at the Carolina Theatre, that Jamin Skipper, was the manager of the entire building. And he wanted me to explain to people what it is I do there. So I thought I'd read this. It was written by Henry Rollins, a man that knows the subject well. It's about being a stage manager. And I may have to edit some of the language here. Listen to the stage manager and get on stage when they tell you to. No one has the time for your rock star BS. None of the techs backstage care if you're David Bowie or the Milkman. When you act like a jerk, they're completely unimpressed with the infantile display that you might think comes with your dubious status. They were there hours before you building the stage, and they will be there hours after you leave it tearing it down. They should get your salary and you should get theirs. And that's it.
You know, I just really, really like that and can think of all sorts of ways you can tweak that to apply to different situations.
Yes.
You know?
And we may be doing that here and there throughout.
Yes. I mean, I could put something like that on my front door.
It's obvious to me that whoever wrote that Henry Rollins, whatever, I think that's his name. Yes, Henry Rollins obviously did some of this work himself.
Yes.
Otherwise, you have a keen insight, old chap. Thank you.
Well, it's just a way of dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, snarl, snarl.
Yes. I was going to do something this morning, which I've decided not to, and that was to read you folks the 2010 Darwin Awards, but to sort of assume this as comedy is far too depressing.
Yes, you got us all depressed reading.
Some really funny stuff, but it all really happened, and these people really died, so I'm going to skip it. It doesn't go well with coffee.
Right.
So that's that. Enough of that. We do have a couple of interesting characters in the studio today. We have Janice Monaco, and we have Shiloh Burnham. Did I get that right? Good. And they own the All Booked Up bookstore in Apex, downtown Apex. And very shortly, we're going to be putting them on the spot and finding out what got this whole thing started. It's a fire we can't put out anymore. We actually had Derek, if you remember, Derek Eason on a couple of weeks ago, who is the illustrator now for a lot of their work. Matter of fact, I suppose we might as well bounce into it. I think I'm done since I'm not reading these Darwin Awards. My monologue is up. So
you're done.
I've got
time.
Three lovely ladies in the studio with me, and I'm fully clothed. So, yes.
It's a sad situation.
I know.
For now.
I do want to mention very quickly before we fly further, something from my friend Ernie Hood, who does Radio in Vivo every week. Every Wednesday. And he also podcasts. It's 11 to 12 on Wednesdays,
yes,
isn't it? And
correct.
He also podcasts my show, our show, every time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to acknowledge what's coming up for him. a special live edition of Radio In Vivo, 7 to 8 p.m. This is going to be, I guess, September 21st. Radio In Vivo will broadcast live on WCOM 103.5 FM from the Science Cafe, taking place at the Irregardless Cafe in Raleigh, sponsored by the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. The event is co-sponsored by UNC-TV's Blueprint America project. The evening's topic will be growth in North Carolina, smart or not smart. I could give you my opinion there. Yes, I say not.
So could I.
I second that vote. The special guest will be Dan Douglas, Director of Urban Planning and Design at Kling Stubbins Architects. I almost thought that was Klingon Stubbins. Thought we were going science fiction here. Kling Stubbins Architects. Boy, did I give that name some attention, huh?
Yes.
Tune in to live stream at WCOMFM.org or join us in person at the Irregardless as Ernie hosts and MCs this session before a live audience. It promises to be a lively discussion of urban growth issues that affect our lives every day in the Triangle.
All right.
So there's
good
a shout out
for Ernie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Taking WCOM. I think he's done this before.
I don't think he's done a live show like this.
Not quite like that. Okay,
right. Apparently, not quite like it. But.
Apparently, Irregardless is open to doing this sort of thing with maybe other shows, other stations.
Right.
But anyway, so that'll be on the 21st of September from 7 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So be there or be square. Ernie, you got your shout out.
Listen in.
Please
indeed.
Come clothed.
Yes.
Not like me. I'll be the little tramp out there naked.
I heard they do have nude beaches in North Carolina. That's something.
Yes, they do. Actually, I know quite a few nudists.
Do you?
They're interesting characters.
Radicals or just?
I would
everyday?
Say one or two radicals, and yes, one or two religious ones, and then there are those that can take it or leave it. Yeah, I've had a few try to convert me, and in my own backyard, it's no problem.
As long as I'm in a jacuzzi with bubbles, I'm
there we
all right.
go. And now I'm going to turn the mics. Go ahead.
No, maybe we shouldn't even bring it up. But I remember.
Okay,
a story.
You're too late now, pal. You've
yes.
started.
Well, you already. You made me do it earlier, yes. so you opened up your mouth. So it's either insert foot or
exactly. Or let it out. And that's that story you said. You told me once about how you discouraged some persistent people who were coming and proselytizing at your door.
Oh,
and they
yes.
simply would not take the fact
it was
from
the,
you. Well, I wouldn't even name who they were
yes,
from, what group they were from.
But I didn't do it last time.
I will.
Right.
No, there was this Jehovah. Well, I'll make it very quick. There was this Jehovah Witness group.
See, you did.
They were in
them.
Our neighborhood
10 years ago when I first moved out into the country. That just found it a religious thing to do every Sunday to come show up at my door and try to convert me. And I said, look, I'm already baptized and all that, and I don't really. I'm not really a churchgoer. I do believe in God, but I have my own way about that. I'll go down to the rivers and the streams and beautiful nature to find uh-huh. God where I want to find him. And somehow this wasn't digesting, so they just kept thinking. They kept coming back with a new person every time, and he was the spokesperson. So after this happened for about 4 or 5 times in a row, just on Sunday mornings when I look forward to doing nothing.
Right. Nude.
Right, thank you. They came knocking on my door. Be quiet, you'll give away the story. They came knocking
oh, I'm
on my
sorry.
Door.
I did the same thing, so.
Yeah, I think we talked about that, yes. They came knocking on my door, and I just opened the door completely naked with wearing only a cup of coffee. And
absolutely.
I don't think they'd used those legs in years. They were the most awkward things running out of the yard, and they never came back. That was 7 years ago, so.
Well, they have a new approach. It's just we want to make sure that you're reading the Bible. At my leisure, I do.
And how do they make this approach? Do they telegraph it?
Well, they actually walked up my driveway, uh-huh. which is a hard thing to do. And they caught me right out of my car. And here I am dialing on my cell phone, everybody in the neighborhood, not to answer their door. Heads up, they're coming. Heads up, they're coming.
So now we shall turn the yes. microphone to the dubious Janice and Shiloh that I have in the studio here, the proprietors of All Booked Up, which is actually a wonderful little bookstore in Apex, North Carolina. They were also part of the Rusty Bucket film that I narrate, or am the storyteller for, as they put me in the credits.
Mm-hmm. To perfection.
And thank you. And so I'm going to let you guys know, how did this place come about, if that's where we should start? You can actually
start. Well, let's start with All Booked Up, and then we can move on to Peak City Publishing as well. Because one was after the other, and it was almost a natural transit.
When I first saw that title, I thought you just weren't taking on any more clients. All booked up.
I can't tell
well,
you
we use that
times.
Excuse when we don't want to buy somebody's books. Sorry, well booked
yes.
up.
So many customers walked by before we even opened, and they said, all booked up?
No,
all
it's more
up.
Like all booked up.
All booked up.
All booked up.
Get a little closer to the mic there, kid.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, we've got one mic that kind of retreats on its own power. You just have to keep pulling it to you.
Just pretend you're singing into it when you speak.
Oh, Lord, so, you don't want to hear me sing.
Back to Aubrey. Anything goes on this show.
Okay, Dennis.
Not your clothing, though.
I'm in control of the switches here, so I just turn it all off.
Bleep. All right, you want to tell them about the story of All Booked Up?
Well, which one? Because we have several. So,
which story do we tell our customers?
I think we want the more controversial one, please.
Oh. Okay, the one that I banged on her door. I don't know. Just one day I went out.
Here.
It's got to be the beach thing. It's got to be really the beach thing.
Yeah, Janice has a prelude to this story or a preface to this story. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was, okay, so this is going to sound a little spiritual, but I had been praying to God for a friend. And my son kept coming home and telling me, Mom, you got to meet Janice. You need to be friends with Janice. She's cool, you know? So eventually.
And I dress well.
Oh, it's always about the clothes.
Details.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With or without.
On a good day, she shops. On a bad day, she shops. And now she started shopping for me.
Yes, I am.
Intent? What does that mean? Right. Yeah.
She needs a gift every now and then, too.
I see.
But anyway, so to make a long story short, I had been praying for a friend. We lived here for 10 years. Things were just every day. And I became friends with Janice. And then it almost seemed like we were friends for all of our lives. It was just one of those things that clicked.
I know what
and
you mean.
In my typical way, I was ignoring her a little bit, and she called me up and she said, "It takes two to be friends, you know." So I kind of got the message.
It's a two-way street.
Yes.
Two-way street.
But and she was talking to me one night about opening up a used bookstore, and that was one of my dreams at one time too.
And where were you living at this time? Were you in Apex already?
We're
in the same neighborhood.
Oh,
I mean, we've ironically seen each other every day since your son was, I'd say, 4 to 5 years old. Yeah, really little.
Hmm.
Every day, all those many years.
Never talked or anything. And, you know, waving like neighbors do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we started a friendship. And at the same time, she was sharing her dreams with me to open up a used bookstore.
And did I had already find the spot?
At that point, you had not. But it seemed like the plan just came together.
Right.
All
right.
Of a sudden, things were just falling into place.
Right.
So Janice was out in downtown Apex for other business and came across a little shop that was closing and had a for rent sign. I'm going to let you go from there.
The yoke's on you.
Oh, well. Oh, well, one day I called her, and like she said, or Shiloh had said, you know, I said, this is a two-way street. And I think the praying part of hers in the way of the friendship thing was her not doing any of the work, but it just coming to her. So her friendship or her friend that came into her life would have to be somebody just like me. Somebody as pushy, as arrogant, as, okay, this is what you're going to do, and we're going to do it now.
Drum roll, folks.
And ironically, the day that I said, you know what, take a ride with me out to Clayton. I got to pick up a couple of bookcases. I don't want to take the ride by myself. It was a little long. And I'm like, we could talk, hang out, you know, have a cigarette and some coffee and whatnot. So we did. And on the way to pick up the bookcases, she said to me, she turned to me and she goes, I want to be an owner of a bookstore too. And I said, are you sure? And she goes, yeah. I go, you got money? She goes, yeah. I go, you're in. We shook hands.
Ta-da!
And we were partners. And I've never regretted it, not once, since the day we did that. And then I went ahead and told her the story.
And how many years has that been now?
Well, we started 3 years ago, I would say, because we were doing some book buys. And we actually held the lease for quite a while, fixing it up. She got a hair where she wanted to paint this place.
I hate it when hairs grow there.
It was
and
pink
Claudio,
and green.
You remember, this is when I met you and Sherry.
You were across the street from where you are now.
Yeah, yeah. And that place was mold infested. The walls had six, seven coats of probably horrible paint.
Probably kills it primer.
Lead-based. Can you say lead? Anyway, she has me in there every night for a week painting.
And she still left a wall pink.
I did. I left the kids' corner pink. Our kids' corner was pink. But in any case, it came about that way. Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah. So when exactly did you open?
We opened probably, our official opening was that Peak Fest day, I think it was. Because we did it to where, it was the Peak Fest, three Peak Fests ago, correct?
The first one, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you've been open for 3 years.
Are you talking about the new place? But when was the old one opened?
The Peak Fest, not the Film Festival, Claudio.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Peak Fest, that's okay. Gotcha. We confuse it too, but there's a Peak Fest and we knew that the owner of the building was opening up his Ocean Grill. He was moving it from Cary into downtown Apex.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like riding on his coattails of the opening. He's got somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 emails going out to customers. So we're two doors down from him. Let's do it together. And he's like, don't rely on me. And I'm like, I just rode his coattails and we opened up and we never had to advertise.
Uh-huh.
There was never a need for it because that peak fest was incredibly busy. And we were so excited. We felt so successful.
The other day, we had a customer come in with one of our original bags. It was almost, I was like, vintage bags.
Right. Like from 2.5 years ago. It was and even said then, what we still say now is we'll reward you for recycling those bags. Like your book is on recycled paper and whatnot. We feel the same way about the environment. And we reward them. The kids get a quarter for candy because we have a candy machine. And take a couple cents off of a book here and there for people who come in with those bags. But ultimately, we'd like to be able to afford all booked up your bag that you use over and over again like you would with grocery shopping.
Now tell us what inspired the title, All Booked Up. That's quite an original title.
I was playing around
with
my
mom.
Stole
it from a prisoner,
did
we? I think
this is actually before you.
Yes, you guys had
my mother and I were talking and I can't tell the whole story because I'll delve into past business.
Well, give us what you can.
Okay. Well, we were playing around with names and certain family members and what they may or may not have done for a living, and we just came up with the booked up thing. That's it. We came up with All Booked Up because it kind of had a nice ring to it. Yeah.
So we're keeping the bookies and the mafia out of this one. Is that
yes,
the idea?
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Okay. We were just kind of playing around. And
like the title, that's okay. Right. Well done, Corleone. So tell us what's on the hinges. What's happening?
Well, Peak City Publishing is what's happening.
Yeah, I know.
Shiloh took it to a new level.
We actually had Derek M. Eason, I'm just pronouncing him as he signs his comics, on here a few weeks ago, which is when I decided I wanted to have the girls on. And so that'll give you an idea. He gave a little bit of a perspective on All Booked Up, but you go ahead and do it the rest of the way.
Yeah, the Peak City Publishing was Shiloh's way of saying, I don't have enough to do. I work for Verizon 80 hours a week, and I want to start a publishing company. And I'm just sitting there going, gee, this is wonderful.
No.
Because she's going to do all the work.
I am doing a lot of work, but we have met so many great people in the community who are helping us do all of this work as well. What it started out with was we had met a lot of local authors in downtown Apex and surrounding areas who were frustrated with their current publishing processes, whether they were with a big house or self-published. We were running across people who just kept saying, you know, this is hard. We have to market our own books. We need to sell our own books. We're
they
writers.
They put us out to the lions.
And they're all based on very high volume as well, right?
Yes, yes. So after a while, Janice and I had talked it over with our families and stuff, and we decided that we wanted to delve into the publishing business to see if we could make
it. I don't remember that talk, actually.
You don't?
No, I don't remember that talk at all.
Did it just happen?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, it did.
Oh, I'm sure we talked about it.
I'm sure I had no say in the matter whatsoever.
Well, I remember going downtown and filing all the papers.
Oh, yeah.
I put your name on it.
She
as
calls me up and she goes, by the way, we have a publishing company and it's called Peak City Publishing. I said, fabulous. Rusty Bucket Kids Club would love that.
Now, folks, this is no longer a radio show. We're eavesdropping now.
Okay, so what we did is when we actually moved locations from the original store that we were talking about, which gave us a lot more room to work with. We met with members of the Apex Writers Guild. We invited them to come into the store where we did a focus group. And we asked them, you know, what would the top five things be that you need from a publisher? You know, what works, what doesn't work? So we went around, we brainstormed as a whole group, and then Janice and I left the room and let them come up with their top five things that they would like a publishing company to consider. Least was royalties and payments, which was really surprising to us. We thought that that would come up first and foremost, and that actually came at the bottom of the list. The authors that we talked to, what they really wanted was someone to help them market, package, to get out there and sell them instead of instead of them having to sell themselves. Yeah. Exactly. So the company really was founded on writers and what they wanted.
Our business model itself was probably created 80% from the writers in the area.
Just goes to show we're so used to being poor, we don't think of the money.
Right.
The struggling part just falls right into place, doesn't it?
Well, money always seems to be in dreamland somewhere, you know.
We do have authors that have big dreams like people who have submitted to Peak City Publishing that, you know, we know that there could be a piece of gold here, and we just have to do the right thing and in all the right spots. But ironically, that focus group, we met Derek.
Yes,
and we also met our first submission author. She submitted immediately to Peak City Publishing. So we knew we had something there in the way of them just being able to. The touch and feel is what I kind of use the wording for Peak City Publishing.
Making it real.
We're not far away. You can come into our store. We have a house. You know, even though we're not random, we're all booked up. But we do have a place to sell your books.
We are random, though.
No.
No, I know.
Random house. Yes. Well, we decide when to close and when not to close. That's how random we get.
That random.
Explain that random thing there.
Well, I'm trying to think of, do you have a specific type of book you're looking for in publishing, or is it random? You're totally open to anything.
It seemed like you selected a bit of a theme, didn't you, on this last one, or no? Was it open-ended?
This last one with the one
the
that children, we're working
children
on
now. Book that you've got out.
We always knew we wanted to do something for the community first and foremost.
Right.
And even though we were already contracted in with the Rusty Bucket Kids Club, is that the formal name
that's
of it now?
That's the movie, yeah.
And that's the formal name of the company, RBKC.
Right. We already were in contract with them at the time, and of course, red tape all over the place. But this was from our heart. This was, let's support our local authors, but yet the kids too. We have English teachers who struggle and kids who have something to say. And we started that was her baby. She says, I want to do this. And ironically, it was our first book. And I always thought it was going to be Rusty Buckets.
I did too. And it was ironic that it came out to be the first line, because I could easily say that came from our heart. That was something we wanted to give back to
As
the
a
community.
Writer, I love that, the first line.
And explain to our listeners exactly that this was an invitational competition?
Yes, it was.
And it was aimed at school age?
Yeah, well, we have certain age groups, this particular age group.
13 to 18.
Right. I tried getting in, but I couldn't hide my age.
Okay, so it started in the store, and mainly our customers were looking at it, and they were like, what is the first line? And what it is we provide the first line of the manuscript, and we chose a first line that was really the end. So we made them start with the end in mind and then write from there. So it was open to young adults ages 13 to 18, and they submitted 2,500 to 5,000 word manuscripts for the contest. We sourced out the stories to a panel of six judges. Neither Janice nor I wanted to review them or be biased in any way, so we gave them to other people to score, and they came up with the top four. Now, the top four are published in the first book called The First Line. It was not supposed to end this way.
That's great.
I like that.
That was the first
You know, that
line.
Is so fantastic. I mean, your first publishing company, or your first published work being the first line,
yes.
And the fact that you reached out to the youth in the community.
Absolutely.
We do the same thing with the work.
It's fantastic.
For Peak, too.
Yeah.
For PCP, we also are community based artists, authors. They do our readings. We have a local editor. It's all local in North Carolina.
Right.
Yeah, so
I think that's an important thing to get back to. Even in the theater world, it's strange.
Right.
It's strange, you know, I work most of the venues, and Progress Energy and some of these larger entertainment centers. They bring in talents from New York and D.C. when they've got them right here.
Oh, no, that's, yeah.
And yeah, I'd like to see
that
stop.
That was never our idea to begin with. We wanted to be the bookstore for Apex.
Homies need some exposure, man.
Yes. Exactly.
That's why you've got community radio.
That's why you've got it. That's
and
why.
My whole thing with the just being published at a young age like that is the helping of these children when they fill out their college apps.
Yeah.
And they're able to say they are published. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, and by the time that maybe some of these kids do, it is a good point, because having that on your application could get you in or not.
There's no word of mouth like a kid's.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Sure. So,
but also, and I'm thinking in terms of the internet and TV and all the things that seem, they say, are taking our public away from the written word, and opening a bookstore and a publishing house at this time is kind of courageous.
I would say so.
Absolutely was, because when we did open the store, everybody thought we were crazy. Mm-hmm. It was right when things were horribly going wrong for myself as a real estate broker. I was just so hard. And everybody was like, are you crazy? Our friends, our family was supportive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, supportive physically, monetarily. But when
in a recession, you're going to be successful.
That's exactly what I said. We said, we could do this now. We can do this then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we've done it.
Absolutely.
And our next book, the first line, story is going to start off with, it was cute until?
It was cute until, and that's for ages 10 to 15.
All right.
Yes.
So we went down to 10.
And I'm playing around with an idea for elementary kids with Fred. Fred's our mascot. And
he's a frog.
He's a frog who eats goldfish. So Apex stands for
he eats goldfish?
Apparently.
What's that going to do to my goldfish?
No, I didn't see him swallow it, but there's certainly a goldfish tail out of his mouth.
He looks pretty happy. I'm thinking he was working on it.
There's a smile on his face.
Well, I may have just made a big mistake. I've combined goldfish and frogs into a pond I have. We'll see.
No, you should be pretty safe. Apparently that frog was a little desperate. Either that or he wanted to give us the picture.
But with Fred is our frog, and he is our mascot, our store mascot, if you will.
It's not actually a live frog in your
store. Yes, he is.
Not in the store.
Not in the
he
store.
He is a real life frog.
He's in the photographer's pond.
Okay.
Now tell us what Fred actually means.
Frequent reader enthusiast discount.
That's how he got his name.
And that's how we pull in some of the... Our customers are used to the used book prices. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But in supporting our local authors and them having so much money in their piece or book per se, mm-hmm. self-publisher or not, you know, sometimes it's mind-boggling how much money they actually have in it mm-hmm. when we can sign it for them. And the Fred card gives the 20% discount, so they feel like they're getting something supporting the authors. Mm-hmm. It comes out of our pocket, not the authors. And we could still house, sell, and
you can still
advertise.
Make enough to keep the business
yeah,
going.
Absolutely,
because it's
yes.
a used bookstore. And when mm-hmm. you see new book prices, you're like, and we immediately introduce Fred. They fall in love with Fred, and the book's just the cake.
Well, I think also then, like you already do, it makes wonderful sense to create an event every time you have this to sort of introduce the new into the old. But the refreshing thing about the new is that it's got nothing to do with the old. Bringing in the current generation instead
exactly.
of making new some old book.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. But you want to be able to give that discount to say, you know, we realize that it's a full priced book, but yet we offer Fred, and uh-huh. this is all booked up offering Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful idea, and Audrey's right. This is a brave thing to do, but apparently the wheels are turning, so.
Well, if you give a hand, you get a heart, that's for sure. And that's how we feel with our local authors. We bring local authors in and do events for them uh-huh. where we will stock their book. We'll put them in a prominent space. We'll plan a book signing or book reading for them and then do a lot of the marketing, not all of it, but a lot of the marketing to get people into the store to meet these local authors. It's really important to make sure that readers and writers stay in touch mm-hmm. and that you know, both are working together to put together a quality publication in the future.
So when you say local authors, they're local to Apex, or they're local to
North Carolina?
North Carolina.
And we don't stop in Apex. We go straight all over North Carolina. And then a series of legend books we're going to do. We're going to expand it to South Carolina and just have Carolinas. So
now
we want to expand that with
more,
the publishing company.
You're going to have more mature writers submitting, or you're going to stay with the children?
Well, when it comes to the legend series, I'm not...
Find the people who can tell the story.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
I think for Peak City Publishing, it's not I think, I know, what we're going to do is we have a list of books that we're going to publish. We have contracts already signed, and
there's a queue already in place.
Right, and we have the work sourced out to those people in the community that we've selected to do the additional work, like the editing and the graphic art and stuff like that. Now, it just so happens that the first line focused on young adults. Rusty Bucket focuses on children and young adult. The Wanderer series is more regional because it's going to focus on North Carolina and South Carolina. But we also have a mystery novel and a fantasy novel. And we feel really good about both of these novels and being big hits.
And these were written by people in what age bracket?
Various.
Various, okay.
I think it is various.
Jay's in his 20s, mid-20s.
Yes.
And, of course, Bob Crowley with The Wanderer. He's in his 60s.
I guess.
The Wanderer.
If you're not Bob, I'm sorry.
Tamara's probably in her early 30s, I think. So we have a whole variety of people who are writing and who are submitting work to Peak City Publishing. So, you know, we're starting out the door with some more community and regional focused books, but we will eventually be publishing and launching books that hit various genres.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's for the publishing. Now, when you say you feature local writers in your suppose I've had a book published somewhere else, and I'd like to have it featured in your store, and I'm, you know, a local writer.
Absolutely. Local we want
kind of like me.
So then we could just contact you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Why don't you give people your website and you might get absolutely swamped.
You already said
go ahead and announce
you want
it.
To give.
Give All Booked Up first.
www.allbookedupsalemstreet.com. It has to spell out Salem Street. Okay?
Spell out the STREET.
You got to spell that out. If not, you won't get us. And
we have one of the longest Facebook names. which is good, you know, it's kind of catchy.
They are on Facebook, people, and you could become a fan, because I already did.
Yes, and we're All Booked Up Used Books on Facebook, and then it's www.peakcitypublishing.com, and that's our website.
P-E-A-K,
that's correct.
Yeah, so PCP, actually, the website's great.
Careful with that PCP thing.
Nudist, PCP.
Yes, I was going to try some. Go ahead.
We might want to throw in PCP LLC.
There we go.
Yes, let's just incorporate another drug.
That's it.
Okay, well, now I just forgot what I wanted to actually
say. Publishing. We do have a website, and authors can go out there and follow submission guidelines.
Yeah, it's easy.
We'll walk them through the process of submitting their work to us.
And if you can't get through that process, then just don't even give
you
us your
write.
Manuscript. If you can't handle the website, you know, all except for one exception. Do we have one exception that I won't make go through? Yeah, and that's our ambassador of Apex, so I'm not going to make him go through any loops. And
he probably
loops.
Doesn't like computers at all.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, he deserves to have it done, and if I have to do a little extra work, then I'm going to do it, because that man is...
Give us his name.
J.C. Knowles.
That's it.
Yeah, and J.C. would...
He's a character.
He does not have to go through the hoops, and anybody who thinks I'm being biased, then...
Then that's fine.
That's
you
that's
are.
That's good, because I am.
He'd
yes.
be another one to pick on for coming on the show. So mention that to him sometime.
He would be a lot of fun.
He would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Now, doesn't he put out some sort of a paper?
He does. Yeah. He puts out the Gazette.
The Gazette.
And he has a daily email that goes out. He coordinates the events. He knows all of the history.
That's right.
He's just, he's a wealth of knowledge. And he's so supportive of
us. A North Carolina treasure, one would say.
Yes, I believe so. Well, absolutely a treasure All Booked Up. Yeah, when we first started.
No doubt. So now you go back about 5 years altogether, or was it still 3 years?
Back to All Booked Up.
When you first started.
Yeah, I was on a beach one day.
I mean, when did you first open the doors for business?
About 3 years ago, or is it five at this point?
It was kind of in April, mid-April, we were selling on the sidewalk.
We weren't actually ever legal in that building, by the way.
And then May 1st.
And you're putting that over the air.
Yes, maybe not.
I will. I don't care.
They can find you
I don't
now.
Care. Thanks.
We were selling over the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's cool.
Any cash we took was on the sidewalk.
2007?
8, 9, 10. Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
2007. All right.
Maybe 2007.
We finally got the answer.
Yeah, we nailed
there
it.
There we go. Yes. We got it.
But our address at 123 North Salem
First
Street
it was sidewalk
was
sales, and it was all booked
legal
up.
Legal to sell anything.
Well, May 1st
and we
on
did
the
it anyway.
Fest, we did it, didn't we? We were doing sidewalk sales, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. No, I did what I wanted to do. I had to pay the rent, so I'm going to sell books.
That's right.
And we're there no longer, so we have no worries.
That's right. She's across the street now in another world.
104B. In a legal world.
That's right.
And if you go to the website, you really get a look around. It's a very
so
charming
great.
Store.
And Shiloh really did it all herself.
Uh-huh.
All I did was critique. I'd call her up and go, you forgot this. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. The poor thing.
And you're still friends, right?
Yes.
That's so beautiful. I mean, that could be a big test of friendship is going into business together.
Actually, our business venture started first.
Uh-huh.
Right. We were friendly, but we were business partners first.
Mm-hmm. And which is a very healthy thing, actually.
Friends, it did. Yeah. You know, back in the day when we opened up, back in the day when we opened and we introduced each other as partners, a lot of people downtown thought we were partners.
Uh-huh, right.
So we So
like that recent gay and lesbian film festival for which I had to live in the closet, yes.
That was so
which
funny.
There's
because
nothing wrong with that.
No.
But a lot of people downtown said, we need a little
that.
Diversity.
Yeah.
People
they thought you were leading the way.
Yep.
I was asked if I was the
wife for this.
I'm definitely the girl.
That's so
and so
sweet.
Is the other one.
That's
just
sweet.
Because you wear a bigger bra doesn't mean that you're the definite girl. I'm the one who shops and then shops.
Yeah, but you beat people up.
That I do.
Be careful, she'll get you a bra that's too small.
No, but that was the joke of Salem Street for the longest time. But the joke was ours because they
it was
really believed
we had no idea
that that's we were perfect. Partners, and we had no idea. My teenager and my niece, who's also a teenager, were cracking up in the back when this one gentleman came in and said, "Are you're the wife?" And I'm like, no, business partners. And I still didn't get it until I went in the back.
Weren't they wondering why you didn't have any gay books? Well, perhaps
we
you do
now.
Have,
okay. Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do have some gay books.
Okay.
Oh, man, you know, to each his own.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I go to the back and my son and my niece are just cracking up. And I'm like, what? Mom, don't you know? They think you're gay.
So obviously we have to...
Oh.
We have to do something about this word partner and come up with another word for the straight people.
Well, the only reason why we would want it to be clarified is because we want to acknowledge our husbands. They were in our business. Other than that, I could be a partner. I'm good with that.
They're in the closet, but they're our husbands.
Our husbands did so much work for us.
I'm sure.
That for people to think it was just her and I was just really disrespectful to our husbands. We wanted everybody to know strictly for our husbands.
Yes.
There are men in our lives.
And there's gay men in our lives, too.
Absolutely.
But we want to make sure that they got some credit for the work in the store.
Good
that
point.
Is so
yeah. But we honestly do have to figure out, and maybe we can do it on WCOM, figure out another word. Instead of partner, because partner is not such a gay thing, collaborator.
When did partner come in? When did people start saying partner?
Oh, they've been saying
a straight
it for a
thing
while.
Or a gay thing?
I would
thing?
Say about
who started
10
it?
Years now.
Oh, yeah.
Easily a decade.
But why?
It became partner
it
instead
was
of
nice
husband
of
or they didn't want to say husband or wife.
Well, here's the thing: if I was gay, and I hope, oh my gosh, I hope I don't offend anybody with this. But
well,
if
forget
I was
it.
Gay,
you're on Claudio Speakeasy. You can offend anyone you like.
If I was gay, I would be proud of that, and I would just say my girlfriend.
Yeah,
you know,
or my
absolutely.
Boyfriend, my husband.
So I wouldn't call them a partner. I would just call them.
Right.
I don't know if it's that they had an aversion to saying husband or wife or. Or what that was, because all of a sudden partner became the word.
I think that you can call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner.
Right.
That's it. You know?
You cook so late. I don't even know what do you, you don't. It's not even dinner in your house. They eat at 9 o'clock. They're worrying about dinner at 9 o'clock. I'm like,
it's almost brunch for the next day.
Oh, no. Yeah, but they eat dinner at lunchtime. They're like the early birds. Early bird special, 20% off.
Yes. Fred.
And they were wondering what we were going to talk about today, huh? I said anything goes.
Well, maybe you want to, Claudia, well, you want to remind our listeners about what we're talking about and who we're talking with.
Well, that's a good idea then. Putting me on the spot, you
of
couldn't
course.
Hey.
No.
Okay,
oh, I'll
this
take
is,
care of
this. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here in the studio with my co-host, Audrey Layton, also of Carborough Bookbeat. There, got that out. And we have Janice Monaco and Shiloh Burnham. I've always got to look up her name because I've never addressed her by her surname. And they're with All Booked Up on Salem Street in Apex, downtown Apex. And you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM.
All right.
Sponsored by the historic Carolina Theater. So you got all the plugs in.
Very
now
good.
I can breathe.
Fantastic. You know, I do want to step back a little bit. We were talking about the First Line Short Story Contest, and we have published our first set of winners, but we also have another contest going on right now for ages 10 to 15, and the first line is, It Was Cute Until. Mm-hmm. The deadline is September 30th, and the winners will be published. The first place winner will get to work with our graphic artist, Derek Eason, who was on the show previously, to design the book cover, and they'll also be featured as the first chapter of the book.
And
next,
wonderful.
I had been talking about an idea that I'd been floating around, and it revolves around Fred the Frog. I'm thinking for our elementary children that if we run a contest where they help describe Fred and his life, we can actually make Fred more real for all of our readers, for Peak City Publishing and for All Booked Up. So that's an idea that's running around in my mind right now, and I'll have to talk to Janice about that.
See, again, I find out after the idea rolled around her head.
It just happened.
I've guaranteed
I haven't
Fred,
signed anything.
Really?
That's how
I'm sure he already has a web page. He already has a Facebook page.
That's how it is with
this
partners.
That's right.
Fred needs a Facebook, okay?
Oh, yeah, well, see? That's what I'm talking about. Peak City Publishing. Yeah, okay, that's a good name. We're good. This
well,
is what I had.
Hey, that was great, though, when we changed it, because we were going to be Salem Street Publishing. And as it turns out, I think that there is already a publishing company by that name or with those words in the name.
Yeah. And Claudio Speakeasy is back to eavesdropping.
And I want to say for everybody else out there who are also not rolling around in Shiloh's head.
Oh, boy, there's a tumble.
Give us the website again where people who are interested in the contests can get further information.
All right. Contest details are posted on www.allbookedupsalemstreet.com. And that's all one word, no spaces.
Okay.
Allbookedupsalemstreet.com.
And peakcitypublishing.com.
So the information will be on both those
I
sites.
I believe it is on both.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep, it's
so
on both.
So that'll be where you go.
Just want to make sure people know how to get involved there.
Thank you.
And that can be from any place in North Carolina?
Any place in North Carolina.
Okay. Anywhere, actually, because we our second place winner was actually from Virginia.
Uh-huh.
So what we started as a community event went from Apex to Raleigh to Virginia, Sterling, Virginia.
Well, I love her to death, but I certainly didn't expect anything outside North Carolina.
Right.
And it happened that we have one, but it's not something that I would go
but
forward
you yourself
in the future.
You're focusing more on North Carolina.
Yeah.
North and South Carolina, I
North
would think
South.
Would be.
Yeah, but Virginia's kind of with North and South Carolina, don't
Is
you think?
It?
Yeah.
And we go to Florida, too, then, because they're kind of with it, too.
Well, we need to be national.
I think we just opened the whole thing up.
I think it's going to be the Southeast.
Yes.
Yeah, let's just do the whole Southeast. Okay.
Anything on this side of the water, come on in.
Get a .com for that, too, honey.
South of the Mason-Dixon and east of the Mississippi.
There we go.
How far north are we going?
I never knew where the Mason-Dixon line was.
So let's touch on, there's a mason jar on one side of the street.
What is it filled with? That's what I want to know.
That's what I'm emptying. Thank you very much.
Well, it better be clear.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about the Halloween thing coming up. Or actually, you've got, is it R.T. Crowley that's doing that book? So let me not get too far ahead there.
Oh, yes. Bob's doing something out in that Jordan Lake area.
Isn't he reading
the New Hope Valley Railway? Mm-hmm. They are running train rides through the month of October, and it's during those events that we'll be launching his book, The Wanderer of New Hope.
Mm-hmm. Which is sort of a ghostly legend of New Hope, North Carolina.
Yes, and what we originally wanted to do was to set up a headless horseman carriage thing and run through the streets of Apex with...
That's what Claudio is supposed to do for us.
I
can do it.
Roll that around
that
your head,
fantastic.
Too.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's rolling.
It's rolling. It's rolling.
I just need a longer neck, something to see through. But I can ride.
But telling ghost stories
again,
about...
Again, where do we get that horse?
Yeah, right.
Well, it's Claudio. He'll do the ride on a motorcycle.
Yeah, there we go.
The Iron Horseman. Get me a motorcycle.
Iron
I'll do it.
Horseman.
Oh, fantastic.
Wonderful.
Can you pull a cart?
Yeah, I'm sure I can.
Or a carriage or something?
You can tie them to the bikes now.
Yeah.
They've got hookups. I got hookup, man.
Gotta do that.
I am actually a biker.
You know what? I'll be on the bike in the back. The back
there
of the
we
bike.
Go. You'll be in that little hay pile that I'm pulling. Is that it?
Yes. I'm going to hold on to the hay and just look.
Good.
Oh, my word.
I think we're all having too much fun.
Yes. Usually the case here. Yes. And no drinks.
None whatsoever.
No.
There is an ABC store around the corner, though.
You do
though.
Have water. Good. You do have water.
I don't think ABC opens until 12.
She doesn't drink water because of what fish do in it. So.
Okay. And frogs.
That kills that. And frogs.
With goldfish tails.
I'm convinced, right. Fred just threw them up.
Oh, dear.
Nah. Well, Fred is sweet, isn't he? He wouldn't do that.
We don't know if he's still alive or anything, but we're going to keep him alive in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Fred, you mean?
And how long
Fred?
Does frogs have to live? I mean, what's their lifespan?
Because
those poor butterflies.
We should probably know this.
Yeah, those butflies are dropping quick.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
They're just for a season, the butterflies.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the frogs are, too. I think,
weeks,
what is it, spring to fall or something? I'm not sure.
You mean they go from a tadpole to a frog and then they're gone?
Actually, they live in the ground, so they could survive a winter.
Yeah, they go underground.
They go underground, yeah.
Right. Fred, did I ever tell you why I love frogs? Do you know the reason why I love frogs, Shiloh?
No.
Back when I was a kid, my cousin used to visit from Amityville, New York, mm-hmm. Long Island.
Amityville, now there's another spooky story.
Yeah, well.
Not that one, okay.
No, it was, yeah. My my cousins were actually friends with him, the DeFeo family.
Interesting.
Yes.
Of the Amityville Horror.
Uh-huh, yes. Anyway, my cousin would come visit in Florida, and he just loved that there was frogs everywhere. And he would throw them up in the air and hit them with a baseball bat.
Oh, come on.
Yes, I'm not kidding. And being an animal lover and activist as I am, I freaked. And forever that moment on, I loved, and I would cry. I made his mother, my Aunt Ro, God rest her soul, tell him that he can never do that again. But he used to throw them up in the air and use them as
Lord.
Baseballs. Oh. And I loved frogs from that day on. Yeah. It's like I protect them. I'll stop my car.
Mm-hmm.
Turtles, frogs, right. Turtle, anything. Right. I'll stop my car dead.
So did he stop?
Yeah, he stopped. Good. Yes. He's a responsible adult now.
Good. Otherwise, I've got a bat I can go chase him with.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what I did.
Well, it's something that, you know, with kids, just don't think. They just don't think.
Oh, he was such a teenager. Ugh. I was just a little younger than him, but he was a teenager.
Mm.
I guess they don't have frogs in Long Island.
I think we might have some ties in the past because I grew up in Queens in New York and went to high school in Manhattan and lived out on Long Island in Suffolk County.
Yes.
Moved to Florida for lived down.
Oh, wow.
Went to Park for 8 years.
You guys are practically family.
Yes, right.
And I ran a bar on Broadway in New York City. What does that make me? 106th and Broadway.
You're just
right
a
next
drunk.
To Harlem.
You owned a bar. That's it.
Didn't own it.
Part
no,
of
no.
Florida.
Winter Park.
Winter Park.
Right
Park
well.
Sits right on Orlando.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we're related then. I was in Orlando for a couple of years.
Okay.
But never New York or anything like that. Uh-huh. We were in Orlando.
Uh-huh. Well, my daughter lived in Orlando for a while, and of course she's up here now too, but I lived there for like 73 to 80.
Speaking of your situation, what's going on with the house? The whatever it is you're building.
I'm got my road in. They haven't put the gravel down yet, but I bought property down in Chatham about 20 some odd years ago, always with the idea of going down there to live and build something. And now I'm finally going to do it. And I had to put in like a 500-foot driveway and go across a creek to get to my property. So it's been cleared all the way through, across the creek, and up to my property line, and haven't heard yet when the gravel's going to go down. So,
uh-huh.
And then I am so psyched. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm just going to turn my whole life around and go down and live in the woods. And my daughter has 5 acres next to me. I bought my piece and then told her about it. So she bought her piece, and I've got friends down there with 16 acres. And it's just a matter of doing something I've wanted to do since I was 20, maybe.
And you're still keeping the blog so that you can explain to people how to do this cheaply.
Yes, I've started writing a blog. I'm just started. Maybe I'll bring the book to you because I'm going to turn this into a book. It's called The Small House Journal. And because this is going to be
County? Is that what you're talking about? County. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. So you're dealing with that county there and... I think I've built a house or two out there as a real estate broker, and it is tough. It's really, really hard.
I think it's harder in Orange County than it is in Chatham.
No, actually, City of Raleigh was the toughest I've ever built a home in.
That Wake
the
County.
City. Yeah. Wake County was a breeze compared to Raleigh. Now, Chatham, you guys have an impact fee.
It's from people I've spoken with, I don't think I have to worry about it. Much of that.
You're
not okay. So you're not putting in a well and
in a septic and a well and a house. Uh-huh. But nobody's talked to me about impact fees, so we just
That would have happened, I think, when you bought it.
When I bought
the
property,
bought the land. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you see, I might have aged out of it,
grandfathered
out of it because I bought it 20 years ago.
Yeah, you're conforming already, so they can't hit you back up with that.
I like that term. I've aged out of it, so leave me alone.
Yes, exactly. I had a friend of mine say, I told her I'd like to. This was years ago. Live in the woods and grow herbs and make whirligigs, these things that spin around.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I call it Granny Goodwitch.
You have a whirly thingy in your yard.
Oh, yeah. That rainbow-like thing that just keeps spinning.
Yeah.
It just gets me dizzy. I just get completely dizzy. I look at it and I'm like, ugh.
Well, we're about 5 minutes away from a wrap, so let's do all things all booked up and give that contact information one more time and the invitation you're extending right now to the young writers for the next book.
Okay. So our website is www.allbookedupsalemstreet.com. All one word, no spaces.
Spell out street.
You heard it.
The next first line contest is going on right now with the deadline of September 30th. Details can be found on All Booked Up website.
And peakcitypublishing.com.
And
if you go onto Facebook, you could just put in All Booked Up, and you should bring up the page, right?
Yep.
You might get an inside view of the store that way, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
and
yes.
Both of our websites actually do a lot in advertising what we're doing in the store.
Mm-hmm.
We have children corner events. We have readings. We have a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. We don't just open up the door and sell books. We really do a lot. And so all of those avenues would give them a good idea of what we're doing when.
As a matter of fact, on September 8th, we're having a children's reading. Janice will be reading the book. On September 18th, we have a new author coming out. His book is called Papa's Pastries, and it's for ages around 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Next month is going to be exciting. We have Kelly Starling Lyons coming in, and she wrote 1 Million Men and Me, and we're going to have her in the day before the anniversary of the Million Man March.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And then in November, December timeframe, we're going to have Donna Washington, who is an unbelievable storyteller.
Storyteller, wonderful. Like yourself. Mm-hmm. You would really enjoy it, Claudia.
I'll come and listen.
It's going to be at the Hallie.
Yeah,
and do keep me in mind for that Halloween thing. It might be fun to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I certainly think so.
So check our website and our Facebook. We have events going on all of the time. Right now, they're really focused on children and historical events that have taken place in America. But we will be, Heather McCollum. Heather McCollum will be at our store on October 2nd, I believe, to launch her latest book, Prophecy. It's a fantasy paranormal book.
Hmm. She has several out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She's established.
Fantasy paranormal.
Fantasy.
And our events are so much fun. Janice and I, we
go all out.
We do. We provide refreshments, wine. cheesecake.
I wish we had a camera here for some of the faces we're getting.
I think I'm going to start setting one up here.
We
like
had
Jackie
one,
does.
But ironically, she made me turn it off.
one of our vendors, our friends, really, is Bridget Thomas, and she makes these little tiny cheesecakes that
little
are
bites.
So awesome. Mm. They are so awesome. The last time she made, what was it, chocolate cherry, where it was chocolate with cherries on top. And they're about the size of a cupcake, a small cupcake.
So we treat our authors top notch. We don't throw you at a table.
That's nice.
In the back of a bookstore. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We've heard the stories of authors being pushed in the back of the bookstore and customers not knowing where they are. Ah. We're part of the event as our customers are and our authors are.
Right.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly something I will look into more for myself, for my own literature. Yeah. I told you about the companion book to Seafarers,
yes.
So we may have to do some talking.
Yes, yes.
Well, on behalf of All Booked Up, and that being Janice and Shiloh, mm-hmm. and also my co-host, Audrey,
uh-huh.
this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, just about to sign off. But before I do that, I want to give you a point to ponder. This is something you should take very seriously. Politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often and for the same reason. Keep that in mind as we proceed. Until next time, this is Claudio signing off. Cheers.